Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey guys, we have Jake from Visigoth on the episode today, so stay tuned for that. And before we get into the episode, I just want to mention that, you know, I've had a 25-year career in television, and some of you may or may not know that the work is not as plentiful as it's been in the past. So I've had to find some other ways to supplement my income. I was kind of embarrassed by this at first, but it's cool, man. It's a good thing. And I wanted to extend an offer out to you guys. I'm now doing part-time sales work for Guitar Center. Don't know how long it's going to last. Don't know how long I'm going to be there. I will keep you posted. But as long as I'm there, go to theguitarcenter.com, check it out, and let me know what you want. Email me, okay? I'm at mark@talkingmetal.com. Send me an email. Let me know what you're looking at, what you want to buy. I can have it usually shipped to your house or to any Guitar Center in the country. And, you know, when you use me, it helps me out. And I will help you out. If you're doing an order over $1,000, I should be able to get you 20% off. So, yeah, go to guitarcenter.com, look around, and let me know what you want. Hit me up at mark@talkingmetal.com, and we can discuss it more in email, all right? Cool, guys. And that 20% off, there's a certain brands that doesn't apply to. I believe that excludes Gibsons, unfortunately, one of my favorite guitars, Gibsons. But most other things on the website, I can get you 20% off. Already been doing that. Just helped my friend Dan Lorenzo out, got him a discount on a foot pedal. He plays with the band Vessel of Light. So I want to help you guys out, too. Go to guitarcenter.com. Let me know what you want. Hit me up with an email at mark@talkingmetal.com. Here we go with the episode.
Black Label presents Heavy Montreal, the heaviest festival in Canada. Back for a 10th edition. 2 days of rock and metal. July 27th and 28th, outdoors at Parc Jean Drapeau. Witness Slayer perform their last show in Quebec ever. Performances by Ghost, Godsmack, Evanescence, Slash, Anthrax, Steel Panther, Killswitch Engage, and many more. 40 bands playing 4 stages on a festival site that you have to see to believe. Festival passes are on sale now. Visit HeavyMontreal.com. Produced by Evenco.
Hi, I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. On this episode, we're going to talk some rock, some metal, and
anything else we feel like.
We're also going to jam some tunes, have a drink, and share some honest opinions. Thanks for listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. Let's get things started. Here's an old classic that sounds just as good today as it did when we were kids.
Down.
guys, it's Mark Striegel coming to you from the Ritz Diner in Livingston, New Jersey. I am here sitting at a table by myself with a bunch of people looking at me because I'm holding a microphone talking. That's why I'm trying to kind of keep it down a little bit, but as you can hear, it's kind of loud in the background. But anyways, it's been just hectic and crazy, so I just am trying to get this recorded when I can. We are on our way to Montreal for Heavy Montreal in just a few days. Hope you guys join us up there for the great yearly hard rock, heavy metal, loud rock festival. Some punk rock included, mostly some metalcore, some stoner stuff. It's all great. Heavy Montreal is absolutely incredible every year. And I've had the pleasure of being at, I think, since 2013, I think I've been at four of them. Does that sound right? One, two, three. This may be the fourth one. It may be the fifth one, too. I'm losing track at the moment. I think it's the fourth time I'll be going up there to Heavy Montreal. And I can't wait. It's always such a treat for Emily and I. She will be joining me. And, okay, first of all, we had that song coming into the podcast was Black Sabbath off the Never Say Die record, A Hard Road. And before we talk about that, I do want to mention that Jake Rogers from the band Visigoth is on the show today. Very cool band that I've been turned on to by one of our Patreon patrons. Patrick turned me on to that. Thanks, dude. Thank you so much. I'm going to give you a special thanks in the show notes, too, for turning me on to that band, an American band. I know you're over, I want to say Sweden, or is it... I don't have it in front of me, Patrick, but I know you're not from the States. So it was interesting. When you sent me the original link, I figured these guys were like European or something, but no, they are American, and Jake Rogers is here from the band Visigoth. Not here in the diner with me. I recorded the interview earlier, but we're going to hear from him in just a bit, so stay tuned for that. And I'm going to finish this podcast across the street at New World Manga comic book store and Pokemon Hangout. My boys and their best buddy Henry are across the street right now for some sort of new release Pokemon thing that's going on. So I left them there. I don't know if that's a bad dad or not, but I'm just across the street. And I did tell the people who run the store that I was going to be leaving them there for a few minutes. Here comes my Eggs Benedict. Thank you. So that song, A Hard Road by Black Sabbath, off the Never Say Die record, a highly, highly underrated record, in my opinion. And I believe that's because it gets panned a lot by not only the band, Ozzy, I believe, in his memoir, saying they'd lost their way at this point. Because the band doesn't dig it, I think the fan base don't give it a lot of love. But it's a great record. In some ways, it's one of my favorite Ozzy-era Black Sabbath records. A, because the stuff isn't overplayed. And one thing about Black Sabbath that I think when you think of an experimental band, a lot of people don't think of Black Sabbath, but they were. Whether it was on Sabbath Bloody Sabbath or even Sabotage, or they were trying different things. They were experimental, and you hear that fully on Never Say Die. And they were obviously looking to change things up musically, and that song we heard right there, I mean, never in Black Sabbath history do you hear the Beatles influence, Ozzy's favorite band, the Beatles. And of course we know Ozzy wrote all the vocal melodies, almost all the vocal melodies, for Black Sabbath. People argue with me on that. No, guys, Geezer wrote some of the lyrics. Not all of them. Ozzy definitely wrote lyrics too. Geezer probably wrote more lyrics than Ozzy. But as far as the vocal melodies go, those were Ozzy's. And sure, were there suggestions here and there from Tony and Bill and Geezer? I would imagine so. But those vocal melodies were Ozzy's. And you can hear Ozzy's favorite band, the Beatles, on that song, A Hard Road, right there. And Never Say Die, side one is amazing. Some of the songs on side two lose their way a little bit, and it ends really weird with that song that Bill Ward sings.
And I think Ozzy's playing harmonica on that and does some of the backing vocals. It's kind of a weird ending. But side one rocks. And side two, I do think, has some really great moments, too. It just, there's a few of the songs that don't really go anywhere. But while they're not going anywhere, there's some pretty cool things happening. So I love Never Say Die. It's a great record. Don't believe the hype when somebody says that's not a good Sabbath record. It was the bridge, too, to where Ozzy went with his solo career. You know, they were trying maybe some more commercial stuff. I mean, listen to those Beatles melodies on that song we just heard. So good. So good. Never Say Die by Black Sabbath. So I'm going to get to my Eggs Benedict right now. But let's get into some Visigoth. And hear from Jake Rogers, the vocalist of the band. This is a sound sample of the song Fire Seeker off the Bells of Awakening single or EP or whatever you want to call it. Okay, here we go. Some new Visigoth here on Talking Metal, followed by my interview with Jake from Visigoth.
It's Mark Striegel of Talking Metal, and on the phone we have Jake Rogers from Visigoth. Jake, how are you, man?
Oh, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I've been listening to the two new songs that you guys have out, Fire Seeker and Abyss Walker, and great, great stuff. And where did these two songs come from? Because I know you had a release, a full length release out. How long ago? Like a year and a half ago at this point.
Something like that, yeah. Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and then are these two songs from an upcoming full length, or are they just kind of standalones?
They were standalones. We actually did that. We did these songs specifically for the 7-inch format, and it was so that we would have kind of a special physical release to take with us on our European tour, and to kind of bridge the gap between the last record and the next. So. Yeah, exclusive songs. They are thematically linked as well. So just those two, and I don't think we're planning on having those on the next record. Maybe I don't know. Maybe we'll re-record them as bonus tracks or something. I don't know, but most likely it'll just be exclusive to the 7-inch.
Right on, right on. And these were released by Metal Blade, and Metal Blade is a company you've now been with for a while, right? Since 2015.
Yeah, sounds about right.
And how did the deal come into place with Metal Blade? Had you did you know somebody there, or did they reach out to you? How did you initially start working with Metal Blade?
So the story behind that is actually kind of cool. We had just released our first physical media. It was a small record label called Swords and Chains Records. They had just released our EP and our demo on cassette tape for the first time. I had been on Bandcamp for a little while prior to that. Afterward, we were reached out to by Sarlacc Productions, who worked with Crucial Sir Records to reissue that EP as a vinyl record. And then because of that collaboration, the gentleman who runs Sarlacc is personal friends with Alan Averill from Primordial, the Irish metal titans, of course. And he heard the EP and liked it, and he was actually the one that reached out to us about working with Metal Blade, because Primordial's been working with Metal Blade for quite some time as well, and he was kind of doing some scouting for them, I think. So, yeah, getting reached out to by the lead singer of a band that I've been listening to since my high school days. A pretty cool wow. way to have that come about. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. And I wanted to ask, like, the age range of your band, because I'm an older guy, and I've been listening to, you know, traditional heavy metal since I was a teenager, which is many decades ago at this point. And it's always refreshing to me when I hear younger bands out there doing the music that I grew up loving and flying that flag and moving the music forward too. And so how old are you guys in the band? Do you mind me asking the age range?
Yeah. As of now, we are pretty much all in our like late 20s, early 30s areas. So yeah, that's when we started the band, we were all, must have been our early 20s now, actually. Yeah. So there you go.
And were you listening to, obviously you were listening to traditional heavy metal stuff growing up, but were there other things that were in your musical diet? Like where did you come from musically?
So I'll just speak for myself personally. I don't want to speak for those guys and get some of them wrong. For me, lots of other stuff too. When it specifically with metal, you know, traditional heavy metal is kind of my favorite, always, for the most part, has been, but I was also very, very into various forms of extreme metal as well. I'm a huge black metal fan. A lot of people know this about me, it's talk music with me. I've played in black metal bands here in Salt Lake on and off for pretty much as long as I've been doing Visigoth as well. Huge death metal fan. Doom metal, obviously, that even makes its way into Visigoth sound, I think. Pretty much anything metal-wise, I'm just not really into like the stoner metal thing, and I'm not really into the kind of post-metal thing personally. But anything other than that, pretty much, if it's like a heavy metal subgenre with an established set of sonic rules. I probably enjoy it to some extent. Outside of metal, I do listen to a lot of non-metal music as well, and did all through, you know, my formative years too. I'm a big fan of like post-punk, goth rock. I'm a huge fan of ambient music. I listen to a lot of electronic music. I enjoy like Americana, Appalachian folk music, country music. Might come as a surprise.
Wow, diversity.
I just love music, man. I'm an absolute music obsessive. It's everything to me, you know. So, metal is my number one. It's my first and foremost. But I feel I'd be horribly limiting myself if I, only listened to that. So, I'm kind of all over the place. Everything from, I even listen to a little hip hop here and there. I'm a little picky about that, but I have my favorites.
And
I won't be one of those I listen to everything people, but lots of stuff.
Right, I hear you. And you mentioned being with other bands and being a vocalist in other bands. Are you currently playing with other bands?
Yes, I do. However, being black metal being what it is, I typically use pseudonyms, and I will prefer to keep it that way for now.
Okay.
Because I don't know, I feel like that music requires a certain amount of aesthetic mystery that I think it's more fun or more immersive, you know, when you're listening to. For example, Summon Inc. is one of my very favorite black metal bands, and you know, would Summon Inc. be as deeply immersive if it was Tom and Joe making the music? No. You know,
right.
Protector and Selenius has a much more aesthetically cohesive vibe, I think. So, I'll keep that on the DL for now. But I might become more loose with it in the future.
Right on. And did you grow up in Utah?
I did for the most part. I was born in Washington State. Kind of grew up. Not in Seattle, but near in the area. I grew up in a town called Issaquah for listeners from the Pacific Northwest. But my family relocated to Utah when I was probably 12 years old or so. Most of my formative years were spent here in Utah.
And what was specifically the hard rock, the metal scene like in Utah? In where you Salt Lake?
Yeah, I'm in Salt Lake City. Yes. Pretty much all of us live in Salt Lake City. We, the scene here, as of right now, I would say it very much leans heavy into the more kind of extreme. And I'm speaking, by the way, strictly about metal right now. There are other thriving scenes. We're actually really, I think Salt Lake's probably most well known for its hardcore scene. That's really what I probably like. Underground music seekers, when they think of Salt Lake, that's probably what they're thinking of. I'm sure you've heard of Cult Leader, you know.
Right, yep.
But so that's really what's big here. But the metal, it's a lot of extreme metal, black and death metal, I think, are kind of the big dominating metal genres here. So.
Cool. And as far as gigs coming up, I know you guys are scheduled at the Metal Beer Fest, which sounds awesome, in Los Angeles, December 13th and 14th. Possessed, Violence, some old school stuff that I love, and many, many others. Are there gigs before then?
Before that, I think that's actually our next kind of big thing. Pretty much just local stuff probably between now and then, honestly, which is fine because we just got back from a pretty grueling tour. So
right. So you were in Europe recently, right?
That's right. Yeah.
And that went well for you guys? How's the European crowd?
Yeah. You know, I think this was probably the best tour I will go out on a limb and say it's the best tour we've ever done. Both in terms of the consistency of our performances. I spent the least amount of time on the tour sick than I probably ever have to. I get sick every single time we go on tour, every time without fail, because I'm the singer. So I have to get sick.
Right.
It's my job. And I do every time. It's not, I'm not kidding. I actually can't think of a tour that we've done where I didn't spend at least some of it pretty severely under the weather. On this one, I did get sick, but it was a shorter list and it didn't affect as many gigs. So for me, it felt really good. I think all the other guys put their absolute best feet forward too. We were just kind of really feeling it, you know. And part of it was because I think the energy of the crowds we were playing to was also at a kind of a fever pitch in comparison to previous runs we've done. This was kind of it just felt good. And I think we, and it seemed like fans were the most reactive I think we've ever seen on a tour. So it felt good, man. It's good.
And when you look out into the crowd, what types of faces are you seeing? Are you seeing younger faces, older faces? What's the crowd like for you guys?
In Europe, it's really all over the board, age range wise. The U.S. tends to be a little more younger crowd, I think. Younger in terms of like I'm considering us being young too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Here speaking, so this sort of like teenagers up through the mid 30s, you know, young crowd, and in Germany especially, it's like a huge age range. You'll see people from all, you know. From all sorts of, from all generations, are there, and which I think that's really cool.
Yeah, no, it's awesome.
Yeah,
cool. And so the two new songs are out, which you guys are calling the Bells of Awakening, like what, single or EP? I guess single, right? It's two songs.
Yeah, so. Bells of Awakening. We're calling it. Yeah, you can call it a single. You can call it an EP. Whatever, right. Whoever floats your boat.
And are there other new songs that you guys are kicking around working on at this point, or is it too early for that?
Always, yeah, we've always got stuff on the oven. Jameson and Lee and I are pretty much always writing stuff, and then when it comes time to we need to put a record together, that's when we kind of sit down, go through it all, and discuss, you know, which of these demos we've been working on the whole band likes the most, or I really like that riff or that chorus, I think we could work that into a song, you know, and we'll kind of piecemeal things together. But the three of us are pretty much always putting stuff together. The way we usually do it is all three of us have recording setups at home, where we have, you know, we'll record guitars and usually program the drums and stuff, and then we bring those to practice and learn them as a band, and then kind of edit them together as a five piece. That's usually how our songs come together. So we always be working on stuff.
Cool. And you've been doing this a number of years at this point. What do you view as your career highlights or highlight at this stage? I know you still hopefully have many years ahead of you doing this stuff, making great music for us. But so far, what jumps out as a career highlight for you?
Wow. I was worried getting asked a question like this, thing and forget some incredible experience and feel bad for not giving credit where credit's due. But I think for me, a really big one was being invited to be involved in the Mark Shilton tribute at Keep It True recently.
Cool.
That just happened. That was just being asked to do that. I filled my heart. Like, I can't even tell you how much an honor that actually was, especially with how much of an impact Mark and his music, had on me. And I mean, Visigoth wouldn't exist without Manila Road, I think,
right. Is
probably a pretty safe thing to say. Because that was the band that really got me understanding that there's more to metal than your Maiden and your Priest and your, you know, the kind of good entry level, but, you know, awesome, amazing bands that you need to listen to, but we'll call them entry level because it's very easy. You know, you don't need to dig for that. Manila Road showed me that there was this whole underground world, you know. And so, yeah,
right.
Being involved with that with Mark, there's a gig we played with, at Hell Over Hammerburg, were Atlantean Codex, which is one of my favorite bands, pulled me up. And unbeknownst to me, I didn't know they were going to do that, but they did. They pulled me up and had me sing part of a song, which was huge for me. Getting to share the stage with Solstice to Keep It True. I don't know. There's been so many at this point that it makes my head spin. I can't even, you know, Rock Hard Festival was the last festival we played at the end of this tour we just did. It's like the biggest show we've ever played. And it went surprisingly well with how little sleep we were running on at that point. yeah, man, right. The list could go on. I'll leave it at the Mark tribute, I think, was probably the biggest honor.
Right on. Yeah. The first time I ever heard Manila Road, I'm going by memory here and not Googling this, but I believe was on a record on Shrapnel Records. I bought this record strictly based on the album cover art, and it was a compilation album. And I think it was called The Unsung Heroes of Guitar or Metal or something on volume two on Shrapnel Records.
Okay.
I need to Google that and see if that's correct. Unsung Guitar Heroes, U.S. Metal, like volume two or something. And that was, I believe, the first time I heard Manila Road. Yeah.
Do you remember which song it was?
Yeah.
Okay, if you don't, I'm just curious.
I don't. It was one that they re-released it later on. I'm trying to remember. I don't know. Sorry. I don't have it in front of me, but yeah, I'll have to Google that and see if I'm remembering it correctly. Unsung Guitar Heroes, US Metal Volume 2, which was a Shrapnel album. You remember Shrapnel?
Obviously, way before your time.
Mike Varney's thing.
Yeah, no, Shrapnel put out some great stuff, man. I own at least a handful of records that were released originally on Shrapnel. So I'm definitely familiar, but honestly, I've never been a huge compilation guy.
Right.
I don't really spring for the comps so often when I'm buying records. So honestly, I'm not familiar with this comp. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. I may be completely remembering it wrong, but it was, if it wasn't that one, it was definitely a compilation record. I thought on Shrapnel that had Manila Road on it, but I might be mistaken. Anyways, Jake, it's been great talking with you, and we wish you the best of luck, and thanks for flying the metal flag high, and looking forward to everything you guys have in store in the future.
Oh, thank you so much, man. It's an honor to be here on the show, and I really appreciate your time, and for everyone listening, thank you all for your support. It's been really incredible, and thank you guys all so much, and we're really grateful.
Awesome. You take care. Have a great day.
Hey, thanks. You have a good one too, man.
See ya.
Up behind us to the sky, don't throw it away.
All right, a little Manila Road here on Talking Metal. I am standing out in front of the comic book store, about to go in there and hang out with my sons and their friend Henry. They're in there playing, doing this Pokemon tournament thing. But let's talk about Manila Road. Jake Rogers and I were just discussing them at the end of the interview there, Jake from Visigoth, and the song that we just heard was the song I was trying to tell him about. It's called Flaming Metal System, and it is off of the Crystal Logic album by Manila Road. But the first time I actually heard it was in 1983 when I purchased the U.S. Metal Volume 3 album. And that is the, again, the first time I heard it. That was a shrapnel release. I believe during the interview I said it was Volume 2. That is incorrect. It's U.S. Metal Volume 3, issued by Mike Varney's Shrapnel label. And it had a lot of great songs on there. Mixed Blessing. I think Marty Friedman's first band, Hawaii, was on there. And a lot of great stuff. The Rods. And that record was a real important record for me. U.S. Metal Volume 3. And I think it was like the Unsung Guitar Heroes, it said, also on it. It had all the rockers with this really cool artwork, like out in battle with tanks and guns and stuff. Very cool. And it, again, featured Manila Road, that song right there. Flaming Metal System by Manila Road. So there you go. I'm about to go into this this Pokemon tournament right now. And let's continue with some Visigoth. A big thanks to Jake Rogers for speaking with me. And here we go. Some more music right now.
Cold is the crown of death. Fear in its chilling breath howls like wraiths upon the wind. Watch with weeping eyes, flames on a bleeding sky. Cold flames of hate, past the point of no return. Vengeance, guide my hand. Brothers no more, in single combat we stand. Now draw your final breath.
Fly through the traitor's gate. I am the reaper that rides on the cross. stand, grim as the winter night's jaws. Thus I descend, ironclad in my resolve. So make your face with every god that abandoned you on your last night. Reap now what you've sown. I am the scythe, I am the revenant blade. Weep now, well done,
guys. I'm now across the street at New World Manga, where my two boys are playing a Pokemon competition, and yeah, a lot of kids and grown-ups here actually even participating in this tournament of Pokemon. Apparently there was a new release today and it's a big deal, and they charge extra for all this, so the kids are excited and going full steam. And my one son is looking at me like he's angry that I have the microphone out talking into it. So I'm going to try to make this quick. But yeah, what you just heard there was some Visigoth. That was Traitor's Gate. I believe that came out in 2018. Go download that track on Amazon Music or Spotify. You can stream it on Spotify or download it on iTunes. So, yeah, check it out. And, again, we are now across the street from the Ritz Diner, where I started the episode. Had, like, a probably 1,000-calorie Eggs Benedict. All right, so the Ritz Diner. I'm going to post a picture of the Ritz Diner, and it's world famous. They taped a scene from the Sopranos TV show there. They also had that blonde-haired, spiky-haired guy from the Food Channel do his show there once. I think it's called, like, what is it called? Drive-In Diners? Drive-In and Dives or something like that. You know that show? You know the guy I'm talking about? Wears, like, the wraparound sunglasses, the blonde, spiked-up, Billy Idol-style hair? Yeah, he did an episode there, the Ritz Diner. And now we are across the street from the Ritz Diner at the New World Manga comic book store, where they do these card games like Pokemon on the weekends and get a ton of people turning out to them. And I feel like my kids are really into it. And I feel like it's good exposure. You know, it's a different town. It exposes them to playing by the rules, meeting new kids, and it's good. They do a great job here at the New World Manga, and they usually make some extra money off of me because I end up buying some comics while I'm here. Really enjoy the new Star Wars comics. I like where they're going with those. I usually pick up some of those. There's been some other ones too, but yeah, fun times. And I do want to mention I do another podcast called the Mark Striegel Podcast, and we only have 30 listeners, and that is because it's a pay-only podcast. You have to support me on Patreon, and as little as $2 a month will get you this weekly bonus podcast or additional podcast. I don't know if it's a bonus, but it's an exclusive, maybe that's the better word, exclusive podcast for the people on Patreon, all 30 of them. And I do it with Victor Ruiz from the Mars Attacks podcast. He is my co-host, and we have a blast doing it every week. And again, it's exclusive for my supporters on Patreon. Another way you can support me is use those Amazon links. Those have really fallen off, and it bumps me out because those used to really do well for me. But let's really try to do that. I know you guys shop on Amazon, so all you have to do, if you live in the United States, Canada, or the UK, all you have to do is go to talkingrock.net or talkingmetal.com, hit that support tab, and go to the Amazon page, or really just hit any Amazon link. So what'll happen is you just link on over to the Amazon site from my site. They recognize that I sent you, and then you buy whatever, diapers, comic books, you know, notebooks, your school supplies for your kid, you know, whatever, man. Whatever you buy is cool. Buy a new TV. I get a little kickback on that. Not much, but a little bit. And it adds up, you know, to, you know, $50 here or there. And I was sad to see that it was way down to like $30 this month. So please continue to use those Amazon links. And if you don't use them, start using them. So two ways right there you can support. Patreon, where you get exclusive content, depending on how much you pledge each month. Or by just doing your shopping as you always do on Amazon with one minor additional step, going to talkingrock.net before you go to Amazon and link through to Amazon through my site. Thank you, guys. I did want to also mention that I was almost killed. I'm laughing, but seriously. So we were up in Lake Placid on vacation, and my dad was there. He has a house up there, so he was there with us. My two boys, Harrison and Grant, and my amazing superhero wife, which I'm going to tell you about. And I messed up my ankle or my foot. I'm going to the doctor in a couple days to get it looked at. But so I'm, you know, I like to walk. I like to jog a lot. But I felt limited with what I could do. But I noticed that swimming was not bothering my ankle and foot when I did swimming. And I'm not that great of a swimmer. But, you know, swimming is burns calories, keeps you in shape. Some people say it's the best form of physical fitness there is. So, again, my dad's house where we were visiting for the week was on this lake. And it's a rough lake. It's not like a little pond or anything. It's a massive, massive lake. And it's choppy, you know, and there's undercurrents and stuff like that. So I was watching my dad, who's in his 70s, swim. And he gets a good workout every day, but he wears a life jacket and he swims out in the lake. And he told me it's really rough. And I said, oh, okay, well, I'm going to do the same thing my 73-year-old dad does. I'm going to go out in the water and swim, but I'm going to do it a little bit different since I'm much younger than him. I feel like I'm actually in the best shape of my life. I didn't take into the account that I'm, you know, not a good swimmer. So I decided not to wear the life jacket. My dad had warned me. He said, no, you need to wear the life jacket. And I ignored his advice. My wife, Emily, who was sunbathing on the dock down there by the water, told me you must wear a life jacket. I ignored her advice like an idiot. So I jumped in there and I swam way out into the lake. And then I started feeling real tired when I got out there because, again, the water is really, really tough. So It, you know, when I say way out, it wasn't even that far out. I mean, it was like, I don't know, 50 yards. I don't know, you know. And then I started coming back, and I was getting tired. So I flipped over, and I was, like, doing a backstroke going back. And even that, like, the waves were, like, splashing over my face. It got really scary fast, and my heart was pounding. I seriously felt like I was going to have a heart attack, and I started screaming. I've never done this in my life. Help, help. And thankfully, Emily, who was on the dock, had a life preserver type thing, one of those things that you see on a boat, like a little circle thing that you throw out to, like, you know, like Gilligan's Island. You know, he had that on his boat, the 3-hour cruise. You know, it's one of those things. And she basically dove in with that and swam out to get me. And yeah, so I don't know if I would have drowned, but because I was real tired, I was getting closer to the shore, but there's a good chance that she literally saved my life. And man, what an idiot. Two people tell me to wear a life jacket and I don't do it. So yeah, man. So I just wanted to, because there was some stuff on Twitter about that. I just wanted to say that. And yeah, so what a superhero wife I have, Emily. And then last night, my dog Pearl, in the middle of the night, she'd been at the kennel all week. She was great when we got her home, but last night she wakes up and her whole, she's like going crazy scratching and her whole face is inflamed. Like her eyes are all puffed out and her mouth and her throat and she's like scratching and she was like having an allergic reaction to something. So here, if at 4 a.m., Emily gets in the car with Pearl and goes to the emergency vet clinic, which is like a half hour from our house, and they injected Pearl, the dog, with Benadryl. And yeah, I don't know. She still seems off today. I'll keep you guys posted. Hopefully she'll be back to normal soon, but kind of scary too, because we were worried her throat was closing up. And she never cries, and she was like crying. And so poor Emily has been saving everyone, me and Pearl. And wow, Emily the superhero. There you go. And she will be joining me in Heavy Montreal. And there you go. So for updates on myself and Pearl, tune into my and Pearl's show. It's called Mark in the Minivan, and it is on YouTube.com/talkingmetal. I let loose. I share some opinions, and some people, like this one guy was telling me, oh, you got to stay in the positive. But listen, it's an outlet for me, man. I'm trying to be honest and express my feelings, whether they're right, wrong, positive, or negative in your eyes. That's what I'm doing there. It's therapy. Mark and the Minivan is therapy for me, and I appreciate you listening to them. And yeah, thanks, guys. So go subscribe to that station, YouTube.com/talkingmetal. So let's get into some Kill Switch. This is I'm Broken Too, brand new Kill Switch Engage here on Talking Metal. Can't wait to see at Heavy Montreal, Killswitch Engage. Yeah, I'm talking kind of low here because I'm trying not to disturb the kids, and my kids are like glaring at me right now. They don't like it that causing a scene here at the Pokemon tournament. But yeah, Killswitch Engage. They'll be up at Heavy Montreal. That's their new song right there, I'm Broken Too. New music on the way from those guys shortly. So let's get ready for that. Let's get ready for that. And to close things out, I was really blown away that Chris Adler has left Lamb of God, a band that I would consider myself a casual fan. However, the Sacrament record from back in 2006 is one of my favorites of that time frame. Such a great record. And the other records I kind of know little bits here and there. But Sacrament was an album that really hit me hard in a good way. I love that record so much. And I followed Chris's career. You know, I always liked his vibe. You know, he was in Megadeth for a little bit. Then he was, I don't know if it was as a joke or he was serious about it. He was in Nitro with Michelangelo Badio for a while. And yeah, just quite shocked that he's leaving his brother Willie and the band, Mark and Randy and those guys of Lamb of God. He's leaving him behind. He's out. Chris Adler out of Lamb of God. Breaking news. Yeah. So let's end on that note. This is Walk With Me in Hell by Lamb of God, a band that I saw at Heavy Montreal a few years back, and they just were insane. Always such a great live band, but I think the best time I've seen them, because I've seen them, I think, four times live, and my highlight with them was at Heavy Montreal a number of years back. The place was just going freaking nuts. It's a different vibe up there in Canada. I love it. I love it. They do it upright, man. They do it upright. And Montreal especially, I mean, it's kind of like, yeah, we're not in Kansas anymore. We're not in Jersey anymore. This is someplace different, you know. It's close to the United States, but it has a very, very different vibe. You feel like you're in a different country when you're in Quebec, when you're in Montreal, the city of Montreal, where Emily and I will be shortly. Okay, here, to take us out, Walk With Me in Hell by Lamb of God. Thanks, guys. Support. Use those Amazon links, please.
For blood, pray for the cleansing, pray for the